Group meeting, Sunday, 17th April, 1988. One of the most important facts of our existence is never mentioned to us, taught us, or understood by the majority of people in the world. And that fact is that our consciousness undergoes a development. That is to say, the consciousness of us, we who are human beings. It reaches the culminating point possible for the human constitution. And that is the thing that has interested me, well, for the last 50 years at least, this development of consciousness and what is its culmination. I call it holistic consciousness. It has been called by some people, and quite justifiably, cosmic consciousness, because it is cosmic in its scope, its context being infinity and eternity. And therefore it includes the cosmos. But I mean holistic consciousness in a profounder sense than that, because the cosmos is the manifestation only of something which is the creative source. And holistic consciousness characterizes this creative source as well as the manifestation of this creation, of the creation by this creative source. Now the last book which I have written and completed tries to deal with this particular topic. And I'd like today to read to you the very last pages, the epilogue. A very young boy asking the question, "What is immortality?" pursued it for several decades, till at last it was seen that the answer is ineffable, since it is solely in terms of transformed being. Nevertheless, a few suggestive statements may be offered for consideration. All of us who are not yet full-fledged humans are conscious of the entire world process in terms of uprising, that is beginning, proceeding and ending. In other words, of birth, life and death. Ending is a certainty for whatever begins. Death for any creature that is born. In actual fact, what we see is constant change, the changeless characteristic of all existence. Note carefully, of all existence, that which stands out of the creative source. Since we are still conscious only in the mode of mortality, we see death as the Lord of all existence. Mutability marks all manifestation. So we have a continuous series of changed states. This is a verbal statement of an intellectual perception. But if our mental perception blossoms into full consciousness, ending or death as we see or feel it, as we feel it now, will give place to being conscious of the permanency of mutable manifestation. It is impermanent to us because we are conscious in our limited way. But if we can reach the culmination of the development of our consciousness, we'll see it as a permanency, which implies that transcendence and existence are one and immortal. In consciousness, which functions in the mode of immortality, there are no breaks, that is, no deaths or endings, and therefore no births or beginnings. Duality no longer imprisons us, nor does unidirectional continuity, which is time. There is only totality and simultaneity and immediacy, which means, of course, eternity. Static and dynamic have no meaning in eternity and infinity. Also, there is no duality of active-passive. Creation only is here. Nor is there God and the universe. The universe being nature. There is only total and immeasurable God being, the unitary whole, which includes all existence, therefore. Breathe easily now, till the duality of in-breath and out-breath is integrated and transcended into the unitary wholeness of breathing, of living, and you will know in full that, as said in the Chandogya Upanishad, Brahman, that is transcendence, God, use whatever word you like, that Brahman is prana. Prana meaning life, breath. Breath not merely as a nitrogen and oxygen mixture, but as pneuma, the Greek word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, spirit. That is breath. A constant stream of thoughts and feelings, words and actions, following each other in succession, characterizes our daily life. We associate the self with each and every one of these. Therefore we say, I thought, I felt, I said, I did, etc. The brain talks ceaselessly as it registers and reacts to this stream. Whatever it registers, it reacts to that. This chatter signifies that consciousness is functioning in the mode of mortality. Holistic consciousness functions in the mode of immortality. It is clearly aware that ending or death is not annihilation. death is so great a change of the form with which we are familiar into something so different that ordinary consciousness cannot perceive the relationship between that something and the original, be it a thing, an event, a situation, or a living creature. But holistic consciousness can perceive it. Avoiding the error of attempting to achieve or attain holistic consciousness, we can live in such manner as will enable holistic consciousness to supervene. That means just to become present through us. Use each and every sense fully, paying complete attention without reaction. This is the most important point. Attend to everything without reaction, for or against whatsoever you observe, whether it be good or bad or indifferent. This has to be a constant practice throughout the day. Our conflicts, miseries, and inward disturbances mostly arise through reactive observations clashing with our desires and predilections. In addition, living a religious life, a righteous life, righteousness as you yourself understand it, and not as somebody else tells you merely, daily is indispensable. Regarding reactive observation, suppose, for example, I see an impatient mother smacking her baby in a pram for wetting itself, or an irate father beating his son for displeasing him. My unprintable reactions in thought and feeling only increase the evil in the situation. Why heap Pelion upon Ossa? My reactions only release harmful chemicals in my body, make it easier for me to repeat my folly, and are of no help to the baby or the youngster. But if I remain quiet within myself, I might well be able to make the right response to impatient mama or irate papa, if the circumstance allows it. If the circumstance is beyond my reach or my ability to help rightly, a kindly look may be sufficient. There is so much horror in the world which we have to endure in silence because we, being where we are and what we are, cannot do anything about it. Now it is difficult not to react and react strongly to much that we observe. But with perseverance and dispassion, it is possible to observe everything without reaction. Thereby, the psyche being calm, we can change what is bad into good and what is good into the better. Also, the inconsequential chatter of the brain diminishes and eventually ceases when all sense functioning is pacified. Pacified, not repressed, not suppressed. You are then in a state of silence, of equanimity and poise. This state is not passive. It is not quietist, not holy indifference. And you are decidedly not unconscious. You are, in fact, transcendentally aware, conscious of creative action in eternity. For you, as the isolatively self-conscious entity obstructing the light of transcendence, are no more. You have died to that you and are changed into the you through whom transcendence realizes its own transcendence as the perfect human. Then, you the self and all that is outside your skin, the not-self, are one living harmony. And you see quite clearly that what we ordinarily call death is not annihilation, but a change so great of that which exists in the form with which we are familiar into something so different that in our ordinary worldly consciousness we cannot perceive the relationship between that something and the original thing which ended, or the person who died. But in holistic consciousness we can. In the ordinary way, the succession of sense impressions, of actions, of experiences, gives rise to breaks in your consciousness. You are born when the impression or experience begins by self-association with it, and you die when it ends. This is the factual meaning of reincarnation, the succession of lives during the single lifetime of the organism from birth to death. When, by living the truly religious life, which is no other than the whole of the secular life lived virtuously, lived as a sacrificial gift to transcendence, out of pure love, which is the unconditional, total giving of your whole self to the divine, you are blessed by the vision of the truth. You know transcendence by being one with and in God. Unobstructive to the divine light, utterly silent and still, you are conscious in the mode of immortality, knowing and being the immortal choicelessly. Temporal life is the gracious gift by transcendence mediated through nature to us. It is the opportunity to experience the nature of immortality whilst we live and see the vision of transcendence. It is our hall of learning. Mortality, through the lesson of birth and death, is our teacher. Life eternal is the prerogative of transcendence. Immortality is the silence. In the still silence is peace. The peace of transcendence is reflected in manifestation by the immensity of the peace of the solitudes between the stars. All our worldly living is restlessness. With the vision, the turbulent motion from birth to death ceases. Sorrow, confusion, and ignorance have ended. Vibrant quiescence prevails. It is the peace of God passing all understanding. That is understanding in our ordinary everyday consciousness. The vision, the experiencing of, and the actual being transcendence is the infinite eternal. The one unitary whole, the one without a second, to use an Upanishadic phrase. I, not the I am I of organic selfness, but the selfless I of holistic consciousness, which has given up I-ness, affirm that this infinite eternal is the transmutation of birth-death. Birth-death, the whole succession, existence, is not annihilated, is not destroyed. Is the transmutation of birth-death into peaceful, eternal being. For you, for me, the silence is the supreme freedom, the perfect peace. You, silent and still, unmoving yet everywhere, and now here, inactive yet ceaselessly creative, together with the creative power, you have transcended existence. No more a standing out of transcendence. You are, in fact, a human being in the complete meaning of those words. Done is what had to be done. O true and full-fledged human, who art now not only at peace, but art peace itself, radiating peace. Henceforth, you can be conscious in the mode of immortality as and when you please, whilst living here bodily. The continuity of the birth-death world process is, to your consciousness, a non-continuous wholeness, silent and still, here now. The discontinuous energy pulsation of the birth-death, but transcendentally the life, new life, world process is, to your consciousness, the immutable actuality, the eternal truth, silent and still. You have to be silent and still to be superconsciously aware of all this, because transcendence, the unitary whole, is silent and still. The context of infinity and eternity necessitates this. Whilst functioning in holistic consciousness, no awareness of separate selfhood is possible. Holistic consciousness is not yours, not mine. It is the one unitary consciousness of the one unitary whole of transcendence itself. But you, being one with it, are therefore similarly conscious. In the transcendent conjugation of divine love, all separate selfhood, be it of God as postulated by man, or of man who is received into the transcendent action of divine love, has vanished. There is only the divine loving, only the divine action of divine love. For manifestation to be, the one becomes the two, the three, the countless many, all existence. For fulfillment, all existence grows into, doesn't diminish, it grows into the less than the many, the three, the two, the one. And the one becomes the no thing, the unknowable, but into which you, I, the countless many, and all existence will be absorbed. This is not to the taste of the many today. They want their little, often insignificant self to remain separate. The source of sorrow and defeat for themselves and for all the fry dragged into their net. Death is the wages of sin, and whatever spoils or dents the unity of the universe is sin. Do not ask questions in the worldly mode about all this. For all such questions belong to the mortal realm of the finite and temporal and cannot apply to the immortal realm of the infinite and eternal. Just look and keep on looking with the psyche calm and empty, and your destiny will work itself out. Those who think about immortality are wasting their time. Childhood is the time for questions, when you are allowed the play time spun out of the immeasurable plenitude of eternity. As a grown-up person, fully active with the deeps of human life, plunge into the transcendent void. Consider deeply the significance of Gabriel's command to Muhammad, recite. Gabriel did not say think. Moses prevaricated with Yahweh Elohim that he was not eloquent, and the Lord God offered him the help of the strong tongue of his elder brother Aaron. The name Aaron means the enlightened or illumined one. So, Moses fulfills the divine mandate. Muhammad repeated what Gabriel recited, and the Quran was born. When the brain stops talking, naturally, and not by using drugs or by trying out any psychical circus tricks, discursive thinking fades away. You bid farewell to worldly consciousness and mortality. Transcendentally conscious, now here, in the mode of immortality, there is no more uprising, proceeding, ending. No more birth, death. You are living, not just existing. The world population has been existing so far, not living. In the context, you'll be living in the context of infinity and eternity. Time stands still, integrated into eternity. Space as a separating gap is absorbed into infinity. Space-time is the unitarily whole abode of manifestation. The state of the world faithfully reflects our own state, your state, my state, everyone's state. The mothers and fathers of the world, the teachers, companions and friends, and those who govern the country and are responsible for law and order and justice, hold the keys of heaven in their hands. Let no person shirk his responsibility. It is the folly and weakness of mankind to look to an external Messiah instead of being the Messiah to oneself. Resurrection and ascension have to be preceded by crucifixion, not of the flesh in our day and age, but of our worldliness and of the insane pursuit of pleasure, wealth and power. Only when love and wisdom in perfection are a harmony in oneself, then wealth and true happiness and power will be yours. You remember how Jesus said, "All power has been given unto me." And I presume this is what he meant. Live virtuously, and all that is needful will come unto you. You may not feel that that is so actually, whilst one is living. But if one really sees, really can see and understand, one will see that that is so. What is really needful for your fulfillment and fruition as a full-fledged human being will come to you. The pleasant, the painful, everything. Go the wrong way and inevitably you will perish miserably. The good way, the right way, is the truly happy way. Happiness and goodness always go together, and peace will be yours. The perfected holy ones of India pronounced their blessing after teaching. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. That was their blessing. Peace, peace, peace. The bequest of Jesus to his disciples was, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So shall you establish peace and be a benediction to mankind and to all the world. There are more than 5,000 million people in the world today. How many men, how many women, if drawn to truth and wisdom, to goodness and humanness, to love and beauty, will respond to transcendence embodied within them? And every single manifestation, every single thing that constitutes existence has the whole of transcendence embodied in it. Only we have to awaken to it. And this is the problem for man especially. In one of the daily prayers of the Zarathustrians, called the Jasame Avangahe Mazda, which means, "Come to my aid, O Lord of Wisdom," there are these words: "I esteem the good religion of the wisdom worshippers, which puts an end to quarrels and causes one to put away offensive weapons." It's very interesting. This is one of the oldest prayers of the Zarathustrians. Goes back over 3,000 years, you know. Over 3,200 years, in fact. Prior to these words are affirmations of praise for the good thought, the good word, the good deed. We see then that the harmful thought, word, or deed is an offensive weapon, not conducive to peace either within ourselves or in our relationships with our whole environment. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka," which means, the Hebrew word means, vain or empty, "shall be in danger of the council. But," note this very carefully, "whosoever shall say, Thou fool," shall be in danger of the fire of Gehenna, hell. This last statement may well indicate how much Jesus valued wisdom. Wisely then, watch thought and word and deed. See exactly what you are. Discover your uniqueness and awake to the hidden light shining within you. Live by that light. There will be tribulation at first, for in the mirror of truth you may not see beauty at first. But persevere, living by your light and looking with dispassionate love." I think that is the best English translation for the Pali Upekkha, which ordinarily means indifference. But the Buddha puts that at the end of his exposition which starts with loving kindness, metta, karuna, compassion, mudita, sympathetic joy, and then upekkha. And I think dispassionate love is probably a good meaning for it anyway. Slowly the beast will change. You and I, the beast by descent, our evolutionary descent, we all have something of the reptile in us. But you and I will become beauty. Not the beauty of our desire or conception, but the beauty of our own true, unique humanness. And when you see this, there will be deep content and peace and joy such as the millions do not know. Wherever you are and whatever you are, duke or dustman, housewife or heroine, you will be essentially right, fulfilling your particular destiny, wanted by life just there and just that, indispensably so. Don't think, how can little me, an insignificant nobody in the midst of 5,000 millions, make any difference to the world. Don't worry about the world. Transcendence sees to that. It is the business of transcendence. Your business is to be your own true self. One shining sun gives light and life to all the world. One twinkling star gives joy and guidance to the traveler, to all who look. You are not different from that star, that sun. You are the immortally beloved of transcendence. Well, that's a little preview of the end of the fourth book.